The lesson for today from Ephesians chapter 4. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. These are your words, Holy Father. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Lutherans like to talk about the means of grace, but maybe we don't always define what that is. Means are tools or instruments. They can be vehicles or ways of delivering something. We travel by means of cars and planes and buses. We send things by means of the postal service, or UPS, or other delivery services. The means of grace are God's instruments or vehicles by which he delivers to us his grace. His grace, which is his mercy and loving kindness that he shows to us because of what Christ has done for us, purchased it by his holy life and innocent death. It is given to us gratis, as we say, coming from the word grace, or Latin gratia. Paul says here, to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. The means of grace are God's word and holy sacraments. God uses these means to deliver forgiveness, eternal life, and salvation to us. When we baptize someone, for example, it's not just a cute little ceremony or symbol, but the water used with God's word in baptism washes away our sins because God has commanded and promised it. Paul calls baptism a washing of rebirth, and Peter says baptism also now saves you. The Lord's Supper is also where Jesus delivers to us his very body and blood, which he gave as the price for our salvation on the cross. We can't understand how this happens, but we simply believe Jesus' words to us. This is my body, this is my blood, given and shed for you for the remission of sins. And when Jesus says to us through the pastor, I forgive you all your sins, we should believe as though we could see Jesus himself standing there and speaking that absolution, that forgiveness. Now, why is this? It is because God loves us and wants us to share his eternal kingdom in paradise restored. Paul says there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One Lord. This was a powerful confession of God's Old Testament people. It is still something that Jewish people say today, every day in Hebrew. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This faith in the one true God set Old Testament Israel apart from all the other nations who believed in many gods. There is one Lord, one God, who creates, redeems, and gives life. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When we confess this one faith, we are joining all true Christians around the world and of all time in acknowledging this one Lord and one faith. That faith is not something we have on our own. It is created by the Holy Spirit through these means of grace, through the word that is read and preached, through baptism that is connected to the word through Christ. Command and promise, and through the words of Jesus, do this in remembrance of me. Eat and drink for the forgiveness of sins. This faith given by the Holy Spirit unites us in one holy Christian and apostolic church. Paul urges us then, as one church, to be humble, patient, and loving toward one another. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, with patience, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This is hard because we are selfish sinners. I want things my way. You want things your way. And those don't always agree. But the love of God teaches us humility and love for one another. The Holy Spirit brings us together as one, as members of one holy church. And Paul encourages us to bear one another's burdens, to be humble, gentle, and patient, because we are all one in Christ, members of one family, brothers and sisters in one holy church. This is the free gift of Christ, our adoption into the family of God. It is free for us, gratis, paid for by the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Paul says, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. By our sinful nature, we are blind, lost, and condemned. We are on the road to hell. But God loved us and sent Christ to be our substitute and our Savior. The Holy Spirit comes through baptism in the gospel to bring us that good news that we are now redeemed, restored, and forgiven in God's eyes. The Holy Spirit calls us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He gathers us as the sheep who have gone astray, and he enlightens us with the knowledge and light of Jesus, who is the light of the world. The Holy Spirit sanctifies us. That is his work, to make us holy, covering us with Jesus' perfect holiness. These are gifts of God in the means of grace. One faith, one baptism, one salvation. God uses his means of grace to deliver faith and salvation to all who believe and are baptized. And therefore, Jesus gives us this wonderful promise: he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Thanks be to God for his free gift of grace, his everlasting love, for sending to Jesus to be our Savior, for sending the Holy Spirit to create faith, to comfort and strengthen us unto everlasting life. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen.